Okay, I want to welcome everyone, and Tuesday we have Shir 11, the other days we have Shir 115, okay? And so I give out Mar Makomas in the morning, and if you guys have questions, you can ask me, you can ask Daniel,
try to get Chavrus, make sure you have Chavrus in the
Kavur. And it's Kedai, I think, if you don't have time at night, in your night Seder, to the beginning of the Seder the next day, is to go over what we did, yesterday, and if you have passing, you can ask me, okay? So it doesn't always have to build up, okay? So let's start from the beginning of the, I also want to give out my phone number, my home phone. I'll give out my home phone. Yes, you know what? I'll give out my cell too. Why not? What's the difference? just don't give it out, okay? Keep it within the guys. 973, I'll give you my cell. Okay, you write it down if you have questions. Anything I'd be of help with. Doesn't have to just be in learning. 973-769-2718. Okay? 973-769-2718. Okay, good. Let's start. We're at Zion. I'm going to offer the two dots. It's a whole new topic. And we know that when a couple gets married, there's a practice called Sheva Brachos. And Sheva Brachos is a great, great thing, and everyone likes to go to Sheva Brachos. But I just want to start with the following, and that is that when you talk about the concept of a bracha in halacha, a bracha, for all intents and purposes, all brachas are derabanan, with the exception of two. Okay? Here or there, maybe there'll be more exceptions, but in general, kol brachas are cool and derabanan. All of them are considered derabanan. Okay? Except for two, the exception that chutz mi what? Chutz mi birkas amazon, if you ate kidei sviya. Okay? If you ate and you're fully satiated, there's a requirement to bench min atara b'chalta b'savata uve rachta. Okay? B'chalta b'savata uve rachta. That means if you totally stuff yourself, which is what usually I do, because that's why I'm need to lose weight, right? So you want to, like, we talk about the shiloh about pizza, right? So I always tell I myself eat three pieces. That's the way that I am, because there's a chiyuv to bench, no doubt. Then your post can allow you to eat one, and therefore your kaveh asudu, right? You know, it's considered to be a meal. Okay, but kinei sviya and birkas ha-torah. What does birkas ha-torah consist of? It's really two and a half brachas. Lasok v'harevna, and also Shiva Harbanu. And the Gemara says in Brachas, in the alphabet, is that the Mahula Shiva Brachas, on the top notch, of course, all the Brachas are beautiful, is a Shiva Harbanu. So Shiva Harbanu really is, when I say two and a half, Varevna has no Brach in the Psichit, but it has a Chasim. Right? Varevna, right? It doesn't have a Brach in the beginning. But the real Iker one is, if you have a doubt whether you said Brachas a Torah or not, and a lot of times, let's say if a Baal Tshuva comes in, to Shir and Shul, I'll say, did you say Birkas HaTorah? Because you can't learn Torah without Birkas HaTorah. So if you have a guy who doesn't remember what they said Birkas HaTorah, you don't say all two and a half, you only say the Bracha of Asher B'Harbanim. Okay? So Birkas HaMazon and Birkas HaTorah are considered to be the Araisa. Those are the Araisa, Lesman Nepali, and in the Suffolk, you'd have to repeat, you'd have to bench again. If you don't remember to say Birkas HaTorah, you say that. But all the other Brachas, we say Suffolk, Durabanan, Lekulu, and Suffolk Brachas Lahakel. Now, why is there a cloud of Suffolk Brachas Lahakel? Let's just get that cloud down as well. Suffolk Brachas Lahakel, why is there a concept of Suffolk Brachas Lahakel? Because if I'm not sure whether I said a bracha or not, most brachas are Durabanan. So, what do I say? Suffolk Durabanan Lekulu, anyway. But number two is because the Rambam says that if you say a bracha Lebatala, you're over Lotisa. The Rambam has a shita that he says that if you say a bracha levatala, you're over lotisa, which is the third of the Aseres HaDibros. Tosus in Rosh Hashanah, Lamed Gimel Rav, argues it says it's only derabanan. It's an asmachta. But therefore, we don't stop say brachas. Let's say I'm drinking a soda in my office. I'm not sure whether I said shahako or not. So, oh, no problem. Tell me brachas, I can just keep drinking. It doesn't really sit well, you know. A person should be like that when it comes to brachas. So one of my rebbeim, there is yeshiva in Skokie Yeshiva, but from Friedman Shlita, he once said, you should go out of the building, which is the din of shinui makom, start with lavarch, and come back in, and then I continue my soda with a shahako. So stamazo, I shouldn't be so, you know, flippant, I don't remember what I said a shahako, well, some brachas lahako, I'll just keep drinking. In other words, you should create a scenario, go out of the building and come back. So I just wanted to quote this as a hakdama, that when we talk about brachas, brachas for all intents and purposes of the Rabbana, except for those two. Okay? So Sheva brachas happen to be wonderful. There are seven brachas. There really are six. But we'll see when we get to the Sugya God willing and Chesem Anaf, the Burpriya Guffin is added as well. And that's really what why we call it Sheva brachas. Okay, that's why it's called Sheva brachas al pi halacha. And we're going to have to see whether it's on a psula, whether it's on almana, whether it's a bachar, whether it's a alma, a widower, like I wanted you to see this morning in your preparing Seder. So it's a fascinating sugya, and to really do it well, you have to go through everything. So that's what we're going to try to do, Bishop. And then we'll get to that, so we'll finish up that sugya, and then we'll get to that sugya of Pesach Besuch when we finish up Sheva Brachos and Daf Tes. Okay, so let's start the Gemara here by the two dots and sign them out. Okay? Who needs, does everyone have a Gemara? If you don't have a Gemara, please buy. I have one extra one I have on. Does someone need one? Navarro, okay, let me know. Okay, who wants to read the Gemara? Ellie, why don't you read? Let's see the Gemara, okay? Everyone got it, Simon, out by the two dots. Let's go. Go ahead. Amarav. Whether it's a psula, whether it's a man, you require a bracha. A psula means, by definition, a woman that has not been with a man ever in her life, okay? And a amana means a widow, okay? Now, we're going to have to see whether a widow means a woman who's never been married, or does it mean a woman that has already had bia, which namely means a ba'ula, okay? Which is the term ba'ula comes up, okay? So let's keep that in mind. But everyone agrees that a psula means a woman that has never been married before and has never what? Never been with a man. So let's see what this means, this halacha. So the Gemara says you need both of them, need a bracha. Go ahead. Frek the Gemara.
Me, Amar Rav Huna.
Who says Rav Huna says you need it? There's a bracha. Go ahead. Amar Rav Huna, Amar Ina, bracha. Amar doesn't need a bracha at all. On one hand, you have Rav Huna quoting Amar needs a bracha. On the other hand, you have an Amar not needing a bracha. It's a stira in Rav Huna. Go ahead.
Okay.
Kambibacher.
Shinasa Amara.
A bacher that marries an almana requires what bracha? And a amon shinasa almana doesn't require a bracha. So that's the Gemara's answer. Yeah, go ahead. An almana that marries an almana that marries an almana doesn't require a bracha. Frek the Gemara. We learn in a Brice in Meseches Kala. How many Mesechtas are there in Shas? 63 that have Mishnayis. There are some Mesechtas that are outside the 63 called Mesechtas Ketanis. They're found in the back of Meseches Avodah Zarah, like Meseches Gerin, Meseches Smachos, which is dealing with Hilchos Avelis, and then there's Meseches Kala Rabasi, which begins with a kala blow, bracha, asur, levaila, can eat it. There's an issa the rabbanan, and I want you guys to get that down. Sheva brachas are very important. Not just time to say brachas, but there's a statement in the kala rabbasi that a kala that doesn't have brachas on it, she's asur to her husband like a needed. I mean, the rabbanan, it's a bad thing. You need to have a kala of the brachas. That's why the Masada Kedusha has got to make sure the brachas are said right and in order. We'll get to all those details when we get to the sugya about if you mixed up the order or not, but he's got to be on top of it. Because you don't want to have a kala below bracha. You want to have a bracha and have all the sheva brachas. So that's what it says in Masechas Kala Rabasi. Go ahead. Minayin lo what? Shvu po, Vayeshevu. He took 10 people, Mizikne here, and he said, sit there, what? And he said, sit there, and we'll say a Sheva Brachas. Now, what? When you guys read the Gemara, when you guys prepared the Gemara, what's a little bit, you got to make a har on this. The Gemara is challenging. Alma and the Miriz and Almana doesn't need a bracha, but what do you see from here? What do you mean, what do you see from here? What does it say? What do you see? Boaz, Almon, Chinas, Almonavid. What do you see? It's kind of like what? Now, what do you say? It's not really direct, right? If they're gathering 10 guys, obviously there's a requirement of Sheva Brachos for a widow and a widower. You follow me? But it doesn't say, it's not a beferish, it's not a direct marker. It's kind of like indirect. You follow me? Because since he's gathering 10 guys, in fact, if you look at Maselas Kal Rabasi, and I want you to get it down, where is the Makor of Birkas Chasana? Where is the makar of Sheva Brachos for a wedding? It says in the pasuk, Vayevarchu es Rivka. Vayevarchu es Rivka. It says beferish they blessed Rivka. Vayevarchu es Rivka. Vayevarchu es Rivka is the makor. If you look in Maseches Kala Rabasi, for what? Birkas Chasanim. Birkas Chasanim is the Sheva Brachos of the what? Of the Nisuin. We're not talking about Birkas Erusin, which is the brach of the Kedushin. Right? There are two phases, which we discussed last semester. Every halachic marriage has two phases. Kedushin dash Erusin, which does what? Which prohibits the woman on the man. Right? Which prohibits the woman on all men in the world. But the chas is not mutter to his kala until he does nesuin, which was done 12 months later, the Mishnah says in Ksubas Min Zayin Amud Aleph. Okay? Kedushin and Erusin mean the same thing. They're synonymous. You can do the Kesef Shtar Rabia. That's the first Mishnah in Kedushin Beis Amud Aleph. That creates an Isser of the woman upon all the other men in the world. That's what Kedushin is. What does Nisun create? Nisun creates a chas, a heter for the chas to the kala. And the Pashat says there's an Isser of the Rabban. He can't live with her until he does Nisun. Okay? Nisun is different sheep, as we said. The Rabban says it's Yichud. The Rabban says it means bringing her into his Rishus. Tosfos says in Yuma means the Bedekin. The Ramah says standing under the chuppah with her. Then he quotes another shittah that you stand under the chuppah with her and then you go to the room and you eat together and you say the Sheva Brachos. So there are five different shittahs what Nisuin is. But there's Kedushin and then there's Nisuin. We are focusing on Birkas Chasanim is the Bracha and the Nisuin. That's what Birkas Chasanim is. And the Makor is V'yavarchu is Rivka. Who blessed Rivka? Lavan and his cohorts blessed Rivka. Right? The Sul had been killed by the Malach. Rashi quotes, he poisoned him. Right? So you have Arfless Rivka, they blessed Rivka. Lavan wasn't a good guy. He said, Achasin Hayin Lafi Ravava. But the Bryce in Meseches Kala Rabasi says, this is the Makor for Birkas Chasanim. Our Gemara says that Boaz gathered 10 guys together because Birkas Chasanim required 10 guys. But you see that what? By a widower and a widow, you require what? You require Sheva Brachos. And therefore we see the Feirish, halacha l'maisa, that the Makor is a little bit indirect, okay? But nonetheless, we got a kasha. Don't tell me that Bachar marries a what? The Bachar that marries, what was Gemara's Teretz? So it said that what? A Bachar that marries an Amana, in fact, there's Sheva Brachos, there's Birkas Chasanim. But a what? A Alman that marries an Amana, there's a what? The Simcha is not so much, there's no Birkas Chasanim. What are you talking about? A widower who married a widow by Boaz and Rus, and therefore what? And therefore they had Sheva Brachos. How do you know they had Sheva Brachos? They gathered 10 men. That's what I'm saying. It wasn't a direct mucker. It was kind of like on the side. Okay? All right. Let's look at Rashi. Let's get this guy. Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead, Ezra.
If it's not conclusive, then how can we use it as a makor?
Well, it's conclusive. It's just saying that just, I'm just giving you the background. If you look in the Bryce and Meseches Kala Rabasi, it's V'yavarchus Rivka is the makor. Birkas Chasanim, and then it says you need 10 from this din. The Gemara doesn't, our Gemara just assumes that you know that marker. So I'm filling in the blank for you. Okay?
So you're saying it's using this because it's a case where it's an Almon marrying an Almon.
Yeah, you see from here that it's an Almon marrying an Almon.
It's not the actual case.
The real Makor is Vayivarchus Rivka. The institution of Birkas Chasanim is Vayivarchus Rivka. The requirement to have 10, but that's really a side point for us. So I'm just filling in the blank. But I want you to note that in the Gemara, when you read the Gemara, you know, the Gemara says, Lamaisa, it says, Menayim the Berkas Chasan of Asar. Who says we're talking about whether you have Sheva Brachos at all? We don't care about whether there's 10. We do care, but at this point, that wasn't germane to the point. Okay? So that's the Chiddush of the Gemara. Okay, let's see Rashi. Go ahead. Excellent, go ahead.
Boaz Amon Havad.
Afson is a name of a shofet, and the Gemara assumes that Afson was Boaz. Go ahead. He had 30 sons and 30 daughters. Excellent. Now, what bothers you from this Rashi? What's bothersome about this Rashi? Boaz had 60 kids, 30 boys, 30 girls. Go ahead. How does that show that he's a widower? No? Mm-hmm. Didn't that bother you guys? Rashi's a Pella, no? How does that show he had 60 kids? So he had 60 kids. Okay, Baruch Hashem, he's a tzaddik. He's one of the good old Ador. But Jeremy, how does that show in fact that what? How does that show in fact that he was a widower? So if you look in Baba Basra, I gave you in Baba Basra, the Gemara has a line there in Baba Basra on Sadi Aleph Amud Aleph. Says the following. The Gemara says in Sadi Aleph Amud Aleph in Baba Basra, the following line, the Gemara says that on that day, we'll read the exact lashon of Gemara, Ba'osa Yom, Bam Rabbi Yitzchak, Osa Yom Shabasa Rusa Moavio, there it's Israel, once Rusa the Moabitess came there to throw Mesa Ishtosha Boaz, the wife of Boaz, died. So it was kind of like, you know, it was already set in stone. The Abishter already was preparing that, you know what, Boaz is going to end up marrying who? Going to end up marrying Rus. But the Gemara says, black on white, he was a widower. You follow me? So the Chassam Sofer writes, the Chassam Sofer Taka says, and it's interesting that if you look in the Agos Tzionim, some Gerses of our Rashi have Rashi quoting that. Okay? But the Chassam Sofer is bothered by why Rashi didn't quote it. Okay? Mm-hmm. And the Yushalmi actually quotes this memra. The Yushalmi and Tzumas quotes this memra. And as I said, the Ghost of Tzunim, there are some verses that Rashi actually quoted it itself. But the Chassam Sofer is very bothered by it. Why didn't Rashi quote that Gemara? Because how do you see from here the fact that he had kids, 60 kids, shows that he was a widower. So I want you to know, number one, the Gemara Basra says Befeirush said he was a widower. Number two, there are verses in Rashi that say Takarashi quoted that Gemara Basra. If you have the Ksav Yad, some actually said it, Lamaisa, no Sches, that actually say it was in the Rashi. And the Chassam Sofer asked, why didn't he quote it? So let's offer a Mahalik, Lamaisa. If you don't say that Rashi had it, so what's the pshat? Why Rashi Lamaisa? How does this prove the fact that he had 60 kids? How does this prove that he was a widower? Okay. So it could be the Chassam Sofer wants to answer based on the haflo. Okay? Let's get this. What's the din, halacha lemaisa, if the woman goes to the chuppah and the husband didn't have enough time to bebal her, halacha lemaisa, until he died? He died. God forbid. They went in the chuppah and then the husband died after the chuppah. And then he didn't have time to be with her. And then she went ahead and got married. What's the halacha? The halacha is we consider to have sheva brachos like a besula. Because besula means physicality. And she wasn't with her husband. Even though it's her second marriage, but she's treated like a besula. Okay? That's the chiddush of the hafla. So he says, who had din nami? Listen to this. That if the wife dies before the what? Before the husband is bowl her. Let's say the guy's wife dies, the reverse case. And then he gets married a second time. What is he considered to be like? He's considered to be also a bacher. And when he gets remarried, lamaisa, halacha lamaisa, he has shava brachos, halacha lamaisa. So therefore, if you see that it depends on the concept of what? The concept of having bia. So you can't prove from here that the wife of Boaz died, right? And therefore, even in Almon, you say what? You see shava brachos. Because it's possible that what? It's possible that his wife died before what? Before that he had bia. So therefore, Rashi proves the fact that he had 60 kids obviously shows that what? The fact that he had 60 kids obviously showed he lived with her. Halacha lemaisa. Before what? Before he died. Before what? Kodem Shemesis, before she died. So you can't tell me, oh, lemaisa, that Boaz was not a widower. The fact that you have 60 kids is an indicator that what? That when he gets remarried a sixth time, he's labeled as a what? As a widower. That's the chiddush again of what I want to bring out from Rashi. That's what the Chassam Sofer wants to say. Again, Nachabal, you could have said very easily, just quote the Gemara in Baba Basra, which says, Beferish, he was a widower. Fine. But it could be more than that, says the Chassam Sofer. We want to say a bigger chiddush in Rashi. And the bigger chiddush in Rashi is that what do you do in a situation where there was what? Where there was no bia. So that's what the hafla, the Chassam Sofer quotes the hafla that says, if there's nichnas l'chuppah, halacha l'maisa, and then in such a case, she what? He dies, l'maisa, and then she remarries, she's still a psula. Psula means physicality. The same applies if the husband has chuppah, and then she dies, and he didn't live with the woman. He's also considered to be a bacher, halacha l'maisa. So you might have said, well, oh, maybe we're talking about a situation that what? That Boaz, his wife, died before he was Boazer. And therefore he should be considered like a what? Therefore he should be considered like a what? Like a Bacher. Kamashmalad, no! He had 60 kids. So that indicates that what? He's no longer a what? Bacher. And when he remarries, we view him as a what? A widower. Everyone got this? It's a beautiful chiddush of the Tzam Sofer. Okay? Real quick, Ezra, because we got a lot to do. Go ahead.
Yeah, but then why didn't Rashi also just say after that and also quote the Adlan?
Self-understood. That's a chiddush that we're saying. That's what the Tzam Sofer not close. Fill in the blank. Okay? Rashi was a lamdan. He doesn't need to what point that out for us. Once he says he had 60 kids, you should kaplamize him, and he's no longer classified as a bacher anymore. Okay?
But
that's the chiddush. Yes, Ellen?
But we still don't know from Rashi that his wife died or Rus came into Israel. We don't know that he's a widower. We just know that he has 60 kids.
Nope. The fact that you have kids shows when you remarry a second time, that shows Lamaisa that you're considered to be what? You're considered to be a widower. Obviously, the Gemara is calling Amo that the wife died, but it's possible to say that he still might be a Bacher al pi din, even though it's a second marriage, even if his wife died, if he didn't what? He didn't live with her. The fact that they had kids indicates that he lived with her. See, there's no doubt only the wife died. Obviously, you can only become a widower if your wife died. There's no doubt about that. But what he wants to cover all cases, that maybe this is a second marriage where his wife died before he lived with her. So therefore, should be classified as a bacher. Zuck Rashi, no! He had 60 kids. So if he had 60 kids, obviously what? A second marriage is classified as an almo. I'm glad you asked me that. There's no doubt that what? That the wife died. But you could still have your wife die and still be considered a bacher if you didn't live with her. You follow me? So Rashi's covering that case by saying you have the kids. Geshmak of shot. Yes, Yaakov, go ahead.
Why is there no doubt that she died? Rashi didn't quote the Gemara that said that.
I understand, but you can't, like I said, you can't be a widower unless your wife's died.
But that was our original question. How do we know he's a widower?
I understand, but the reason why Rashi didn't want to quote that makor, you're asking good, and everyone can ask questions. If I don't want to go on, Lamaisa, I'll tell you. But I'm saying the reason why that wouldn't have been enough is because if you just quote that Gemara, maybe she died what?
Without kids.
No, maybe she died without him living with her. So the fact that he's saying that he had 60 kids shows that what? Covers that case, that she still called a what?
So then Rashi should have to say both.
No, Gemara doesn't say that they had 60 kids, okay? The Gemara just says Beferish that what? The Gemara says Beferish that when she came in, that was the halacha.
Gemara says
that was the halacha. Gemara says later they also she had the kids. But I'm saying the reason why he didn't have to quote the marker was because I could still say that case. That's what he wants to say. That's the chiddush of the Chasam Sofer. Okay? Yes, Daniel.
Is this Hafla who says that the status of Almana and Alman is novea from having Dia only referring to Sheva Brachos? Is he talking within Sheva Brachos or Adin?
Yeah, we're talking about Sheva Brachos.
But does he apply that derklal that a...
Halacha
would be which day they get married. Because we had a different Hafla that seemed to say the exact opposite. That we had the Machlokes in the Hafla and Rabbi Kiveger who said that the Hafla said
this
that...
This is only for the Sheva Brachos.
It's only for the Sheva
Brachos.
So there wouldn't be a steer in the Hafla.
Yeah, it wouldn't be for the Sheva Brachos. We had that in the beginning of the year, whether it's considered to be a bu'ul on the Mishnah, get married Wednesday and Thursday. So Lamaisa, this is only the Gabi Sheva Brachos. Good point. Only Gabi Sheva Brachos.
Also for the Besula? Only Sheva Brachos?
Yeah, we're talking about Sheva Brachos here. Okay, very good. So that's the Pshat Lamaisa in Rashi regarding the Gemara. Okay, now I want to just point out from here, let's get this, that what was Rus's status? Okay, because what happened now? Naomi was married to who? Elimelech was his name. And then they had two sons named what? Machlon and Kilion. You guys recall? Okay, Machlon and Kilion, and they married what? Orpah and Rus, correct? The Gemara has a line there, Shnei Gedolei Ador. The problem is, what was Rus's status? So I want to just get this very quickly. What was Rus's status? Was she not Jewish? Was she a shiksa? It's hard to believe. But Tosus writes Beferish, amazing thing. Tosus writes Beferish, and I want you to get this down, that for our purposes, as we said in the beginning of Shir, that Almana is like a Ba'ula, a woman that is with another man. How do I know that? Because when Ruth married Boaz, she was not an almana. Because her first marriage, Tosfos says in Amud Beis, she was a shiksa. So it wasn't Kedas Moshe Yisrael. That's not a marriage al pi halacha. You follow me? So when she marries Boaz for the first time, it's a what? It's her first marriage.
Who says this?
So you can't, Tosfos says in Zion Amud Beis, when we get through the Gemara inside, but that's what Tosfos says. She wasn't really a classical almana. This was not her second marriage as a Jewess. This was her first marriage as a Jewess. So Tosfos basically holds that she was what? She was really what? A Goya. Which is hard to imagine, but I mean, that's what Tosfos says. That the Shnei Gedolei HaDor married a non-Jewish woman. It's hard to imagine. But that's what basically what Tosfos is saying. Okay? Tosfos says that very clearly. That's the halacha. It's a very, very big Yiddish. Okay? Who agrees with this? If you look in the Targum Unklus on Rus, okay? If you look at the Targum Unklus on Rus, the reason why Nachum and Kilion died is they married shiksas. Hashem punished them. Usually, Lamaisa, we assume, the Rambam says they were punished because they left Eretz Yisrael. Even though there was a famine, you shouldn't leave Eretz Yisrael unless it's really, really bad situation. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have no food. And they were the Gedolei HaDor. It wasn't proper. That's what the Rambam writes. But the Targum Unklus says they Hashem punished them because they married shiksas. The Medrash Rus Rabbah also says Amar Reb Meir Lo Girim Lo Hibilum. They did not convert them and they didn't go to mikveh. Okay, and the Gemara in Yevamis and the Mizayin Beis learns many of the dinim of Geiris from Naomi and Rus after the death of Machlon the Kilion. So you get the impression from the Gemara in Yevamis that they hadn't yet converted at all. So why don't you get those three makaros? Number one, we said the Targum. Number one, we start with the Tysus, our Tysus and Zion Beis, Yosef, right? That says she's what? She Amana means a Be'ula. Doesn't Davka mean a widow. Because she wasn't a widow. This was her first marriage as a Jewess. So it means, Amana means a Be'ula. Okay? That's number one. Number two is the Marker of Targum Unklus on Rus. They died because they married a Goy. Number three is the Rus Rabbah. The Medrash Tanchuma says Beferes Rus Rabba, and the Medrash Tanchuma says Amar Reb Meir Lo Girim Lo Hibilum. Number four is the Gemara of Bavli and Yevamis that learns the dinim of Geiris of Rus discussing with Naomi, you know, what to do. That's after the death of Machlon the Kilion. So it's Machlon, they're converted only afterwards. So when she married him originally, they were what? She was a shiksa. So it's an unbelievable chiddush, and the truth is, if you look in what Rashi and Rus on Pasuk Yud Beis, Perek Aleph Pasuk Yud Beis, Rashi says the favors they were Nachrios. So why don't you get all those Marmakayimus? Rashi herself was what? Rashi writes himself that she was not Jewish. So it's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable, but the truth of the matter is, we have to mention it because Taisa says it's by us. She was not a what? It doesn't mean Almana. It means Be'ula. Interesting. Okay. So that's one approach.
Really?
Yes.
So she's considered a Be'ula, according to Tosfos?
No, she's a Be'ula. Almana means Be'ula.
But I thought he said that she's not an Almana.
What I said is when you translate the word Almana, we translate it as Be'ula.
Right.
How do you know that? Because this is her marriage. This was not her second marriage. What does an Almana mean? Second marriage, being a Jewess. This is her first marriage being a Jewish.
So you're saying that if she...
So the word Almana doesn't mean Almana. It means someone, a woman that has been with a man.
So if she would have been married to him without having Leah, then she would have been considered still as a Besula after she converted. And if she would have married as an
Almana... Yeah, you don't even have to get into that. I'm just saying that Almana means a second marriage as a Jewish. This was not her second marriage as a Jewish. So that, write down Tysus and all those Marmakaimus. However, there is a Zohar Chadash, which we say over, I have said in the shul every year in Shavuos, that says it can't be. It can't be that they married shiksas. And the Zohar Chadash writes in Chelik Beis, Daf Lamed Beis, Chas v'Sholom, Shenos v'Machlon, v'Goyim. Rather, she converted because of Amos Bailam. She was afraid. She was afraid. In other words, the Geiris Rishon was because of Mipnei Ema. She was afraid of her husband, Amos Bilah. V'acher kach, and then she what? And then she converted Gira, the Lev Shalom, with Boaz. You follow me? Mm-hmm. So therefore, are you allowed to marry? Are you allowed to convert that way? No, not l'chachila. But even if you did, it's good. Let's say a guy falls in love with a woman. The only reason why she converts is to marry you. To marry her. God forbid. But b'dievin the gerus is chach. That shouldn't be a motivation. But if you did it, it's fine. B'dievin it's chach. So that's exactly what happened here, says the Zohar Kaddish. The Zohar Kaddish writes, halacha l'maisa, that this is what is happening. If you look in the Ibn Ezra, on Rus, in the beginning of Rus, Perek Beis, he says the same thing. Okay? He says the same thing. You have to say, and the Bach says like we said, Bach machlon l'kilyon, you have to say it converted him. You have to say they did it l'shem ishus. So we assume that, you know, the reason why these Mara Mekaymis, so again, Pashkus says it's a machloikis between two approaches. Did they marry a shiks or did they not? The Bach wants to say, these Mara Mekaymis that call her a Goya don't mean that she was a Goya. Just mean the Geirus wasn't what? The Geirus wasn't the Lechachila Geirus that we want. You follow me? Only thing that I'm just pointing out, I want to point out is it's a little difficult with our Tosis, because Tosis calls her a Be'ula. He's not willing to call her an Almana. So from Tosis, I think the Bach is very severe with our Tosis. Again, please get it. The push-up shot is that there's a Machlokas. What, did he marry a Shiks or did he not? You follow me? The Bach wants to say, no, we can say it's no Stira. When these Mara Mekaymis called her a Shiks, it didn't mean a real Shiks. It just means the Geirus wasn't Lechachila. Warping Mechadish, that's hard to say in our Tosos, because Tosos calls her what? A Be'ula, not an Amana. You follow me? I mean, if she was married and Jewish, they call her an Amana. It's her second marriage. You follow what I'm saying? That's the Chiddush. What is your first name?
Johnny,
go ahead. What was your Kasha? Go ahead.
Not Kasha, just a point.
Sure, go ahead.
What we're going to learn from Tosos that Be'ula is Ki'ilu Amana.
Yes.
And we can take that idea and say, that's why Rashi just talked about just having children. Because once you had children, you know they're Be'ula, and for sure now...
That's a good point what Johnny's saying. Johnny's saying that Amana means what? Physically having, being with a man, and that's a way of saying that is by having kids. Right? That's what you're saying?
We don't get into whether the wife died or not. We already know.
Right. It all depends whether she's been with a man or not. You're saying, so that's what Rashi's saying. Very good. Very good. Excellent. It's an excellent suggestion. That's what it depends upon. But I want you guys to make sure we get this, okay? Because it's very critical about Rus. The truth is, and you get this down, the Rambam and Hilchos Issuri Bia in Perek Yud Gimel, Halacha Yudalad, and Tetzayin, if you get a chance, he points out the phrase, he says, what's going on? Shimshon married Delilah, right? Shimshon the Gibor married a Shiksa. How can it be Al Yala Al Das? Or Shlomo Melch, called Yedid Hashem, he married Bas Paro as a Shiksa. Rachman al Itzlan. How can you say such a thing? It's one of the worst things that a person can do spirituality, marrying a Shiksa. There's a theoretical law of Kanaim Pogimbo, which we discussed. We can't do that bismanazeh, but you know, Pinchas killed Zimri, Cosme, and Zimri. We're not bloodthirsty people. We're merciful. We don't look for intermarriage is a horrible thing. It's probably the worst thing a person could do as being a yid. Intermarry. That's why if you know a yid that's not from, always encourage him to marry a yid. It's a terrible thing. It's bogus. So he says the Rambam asks, how could this be? So you know what the Rambam basically answers. The Rambam basically says, you know what? They did convert, but they didn't do it for legitimate reasons. You have to say Delilah converted. You have to say Bas Paro converted, but it wasn't for legitimate reasons. And that's why it was they were Jewish, but it wasn't like Achila games. That's basically what the Rambam says black and white. If you get a chance, please look it up. It's an amazing Rambam. It says, V'davar yidu shalo chazu eilu b'shul davar. No, b'shul davar means for alternative motives. They weren't converting. That's why we treated them kilo that they were going, but they weren't literally going. What is your first name?
Shim.
Shim, yes. Shimon. Shimon, I got it. Yeah, go ahead.
Really
Shimon, I got it. Yeah, go ahead.
Does
that
really answer the question, though? He's like, Shlomo Melech and Shimon married, did he have it?
Yeah, but at least Shimon, they weren't going. You know what I'm saying? We treated it as if that, but Alfi Allah, they weren't going. That's what the Rambam says. Rambam himself is bothered by this. That's what he says. So I'm saying a similar pshat, This is what we say every year, and I say it in the drasha and shuas. You have to say it by rus as well. What I thought about a chiddush today is it's shvir to say what we're saying from the Bach in our Tulsas, because Tulsas calls her what? A Ba'ula. He's not willing to say she's an almana because he says not a marriage. So Tulsas obviously learns she's mamish a shiksa. Okay, maybe you could say for purposes of Sheva Brachas we consider it like that. Yeah. Maybe that's what you have to say. For purposes of Sheva Brachas we consider it like a shiksa, but not like he married a non-Jewish woman. Maybe that's what you're going to have to say. Okay.
Where's the Bach rabbi?
The Bach Lamaisa is, if I'm not mistaken, the Bach has a Perish on Rus. It's called the Meshiv Nefesh. The Bach has a Perish on Rus, believe it or not. He has a Perish, not on the Shulchan, not on the Tur. The Bach has a Perish on Rus where he comes up this old. You know where they have it? They quote it in the beginning of, you know, the old art, you know how the white, the five Megillas, the art scroll? They have a whole Hakdama there, like 10, 15 pages, how could he mirror? And that's, they quote this Bach. But the Bach has a separate sefer called Meshiv Nefesh on Esther. Okay, excellent. All right, very good. So we got this clear, guys, so far? Yeah, Kosh has asked me, okay? We got to get everything clear, okay? We got it, Shimon? Very good. Okay. Weiter now, Lamaisa, in the Gemara, okay? I want to just point out, before we go weiter, you could really ask this question about a man. And let's take care of that now, too. What happens if, God forbid, a man has been with a woman before he got married? Look, the way it's called in the poskim is a bachur noif. A bachur noif. Unfortunately, let's say he was with a woman out of wedlock, and now he's getting married for the first time. What are you going to consider him? Are you going to consider him like a what? Like an almon? So this is a big machloikas in achron. Okay? Let's get the two shitas. I want to get that. Lamaisa, the son of the noted Yehuda in the Chuvis. The Chuvis noted Yehuda in Ibn Ezer. Madura Tinyan is Simon Pebe. Says he's taka like an almon. We don't hold it. I don't think we know it like this, but I want you to get the shita. He's like an almon.
Who said that?
That's what the son of the noted Yehuda says. A bachur noif is like a. It's like an almon, like a widower. And the Chassam Sofer argues, says it cannot be. And the Chuvus Ibn Ezra Simon Kufa of Gilly says like a bakr, even though he's tasted the time of Bia. Nevertheless, it's a great simcha. He's getting married for the first time. We treat him like a bakr. And that's the minhag ha'olam al pi halacha. Okay? That's the minhag ha'olam al pi halacha. Okay, but I want you, it's an extension, because we discussed it by the woman. So we consider the bakr noif to not to be like an almana, not to be like an almana. I'll beat them, but please get the machlokes in the son of the Noda Buda and the Chassam Sofer. Yes, go ahead. Yeah.
Can you explain what a bachur noif
is? Yeah, a man that was with a woman
before
he got married. Now he's getting married, even with a different woman. Do you consider him like a bachur?
Why would he be considered like a bachur?
Because his pashas is not getting, he didn't get married. He did an avera, living with her out of wedlock, but it's not a marriage. And the way we're saying is that it's different. Tysus treated Rus like a what? Like we treat Almana like a Ba'ula. It depends upon whether it's with a man. Here we're citing a Pialaka that depends on halachic marriage. So there's a difference on Pialaka between the man and the woman. That's what it boils down to. A Pialaka. Okay, because we're saying that the boy, we consider him like a Bachar, even though he's been with a woman. Where he said a woman who's been with a man already is viewed as an Almana. Like Tysus said just by the Rus, right? We translate Almana like a what? We translate Almana like a Ba'ula. We're not translating Bachar like a what? Like an almon, are we? We're not. If we hold like the Chassam Sofer, like I said, that's the minigo. We're going to ask a guy whether he's been with a woman before at the wedding. We do a Sheva Brach, but he assumes like a Bachar. Let's say a Bachar's marrying an almon, right? A Bachar's marrying an almon. We don't ask the Bachar, did he live with her before? Did he live with another woman before? We assume like the Chassam Sofer. Okay, yeah, go ahead, Ezra.
If you have a woman who had Bia before she got married,
yes.
She gets an almon.
According to Tysus, yes.
That's how we paskin.
But we'll see. We'll see. We paskin like that. Halach halach. So my place in the post. We assume she's like.
She's making an almond. We have to like check to see. If...
Well, it's hard to. We assume if we know for sure. We'll see the halach. But we know for sure she's considered to be like a bool, almond. Okay.
Are there any nachminas halach lamaisa if the chazan and kala had lived together before the wedding?
No, it's going to be the same halacha.
Same halacha.
Yeah, same halacha. It doesn't mean it's the same woman.
Okay. Yeah. Wouldn't be choshes for kiddushin.
We don't assume like that, Lamais. We're going to be same halacha in such a case. Okay, so we have to figure out, but let's figure out in the Gemara, though, what's the din is. By Bach Almon. Okay, good. So that's our halacha so far. Back to the Gemara. Okay, let's see now. So we got the Gemara. Baita, let's see, Yel. Baita now. Go ahead. Let's go. Let's go now. So Gemara says, and Boaz was an Amon Shnas Amon. Go ahead. So Gemara asks a great kasha. How can you tell me a Bach Almon Shnas Amon has no bracha? We see the Pharisee and the Shavu brachas. Go ahead. No, that goes with Boaz Amon Shnas Amon Ava. Period. So now what's the Gemara's answer? My.
My Ina Tuna Bracha.
No, you skipped one. Dhamma Rav Huna ain't tuna bracha.
Tuna bracha called Shiva.
Aval Yomecha tuna bracha. Yomecha requires a what? Yomecha requires a bracha. So what does he say? So he answers, Yomecha requires a what? Yomecha requires a bracha. Okay, so that's the Gemara's answer. Go ahead, Ella. The Chachamim made a takana shaktu al tekanas b'nos Yisrael that he should be happy with her for 3 days, and he's got to be happy with her for 3 days. So the Gemara says, "Bamai, go ahead." Now, what is the Gemara's assumption here now? That whatever the days of bracha is, the same days as simcha. There's yimei bracha, there's yimei simcha. There are two separate tracks. So if, in fact, there's 3 days of simcha, there's 3 days of bracha. B'mai. So even what?
Even bachar.
If you say it's a bachar m'shiva, we said a bachar has 7 days. So how can you tell me three? Go ahead. E what? And if it's an almon, then what? We said 1 day. So how do you tell me three? Three is not one, it's not seven. But the Gemara's assumption is it's the same number. So it's a problem. Go ahead. So Gemara gives two terutzim. Two terutzim, guys. Let's go. Go ahead. So what's the answer? An almon is yomecha lebracha v'shlosha simcha. Okay. The other answer is a bracha is shiva lebracha and shlosha lesimcha. So what we have to see, okay, before we get to that is, let's just pose the question, are these two terutzim arguing on each other or not? Whenever you see that in the Gemara, you got to ask that, okay? Are these two terutzim arguing on each other or are they not? But before we do that, there's a point I want to make that I gave you in the Shita Mekubetzes in the Ritva. What's the point? The point is as follows. What was the Gemara's answer? A Bachar Miriz and Almana is seven. An Almana Miriz and Almana is considered to be what? No Birkas Chasana, right? But she gets at least what? She gets at least one. Ma ain't to the bracha, ain't to the bracha is one. Yes? So what the Rishonim are bothered by, gave you the Sheet of Gubantis and the Ritva, is the following kasha. Why didn't the Gemara stick within the case of an Almon marrying an Almana? Why couldn't you say all the words of Rav Huna is dealing with an Almon, they marry an Almana? When it says Ein Etuna Bracha, what does Ein Etuna Bracha mean? What does Ein Etuna Bracha mean? You don't need Shiva Yomim. And when it says Tuna Bracha, what does Tuna Bracha mean? 1 day. You hear the kasha again. What was the steer in the Gemara? What did Rav Chalba and Rav Huna say in the beginning of the Gemara? Echad Basul, Echad Almana requires a Bracha, Tuna Bracha. What did the Gemara ask from another statement of Huna? That an Almana Ein Etuna Bracha. You have a phrase Tuna Bracha and Ein Etuna Bracha. What was the Gemara's answer?
Bracha 7 days, Ein
Etuna Bracha. The Bacher, excellent. What is your first name again?
Pinchas.
A Bacher that mirrors an Almana is what? Is seven. An Amon that mirrors an Almana is one, correct? Let me ask you a question. Just say, be simpler. Just say Almon, Mirin, and Almana, and when it says Tuna Bracha, it meant what? 1 day. When it said Ein Etuna Bracha, it meant what? Seven. Simple. What is your first name?
Elliot,
why get fancy? You follow me? That's what the Ritva and the Shittim Kibetz are asking. Just technically in shot. So you always say before we get to the Lamedes, you got to understand the Gemara Klor and the technicalities in the Gemara. You understand the Kasha Shimon? What, why does Gemara need to give an answer? Lo Kasha, Bachar marries an Almana, and an Alma marries an Almana. Be simple. Just an Alma marrying an Almana, and when it said Einatuna Bracha, meant Einatuna 7, and when it said Tuna Bracha, meant what? 1. You hear the Kasha? What does Gemara have to stand on its head and say, Bachar Shinas Almana, Alma Shinas Almana? What is your name? Ellie. You follow the Kasha? It's a stark Kasha. Strong caution. What do you have to give this answer? Just stick within one answer. Very simple. Just saying when it said Amana Tuna Bracha is talking about what? One day. And when the second statement of Ravun is quoted, Amana Tuna Bracha means you don't need 7. That's all. That would have been a very simpler answer. That's the Ritva that I gave you in Dibra Maskel, Amana Tuna Bracha, and the Shittu Gepetzes here. In the Dirmas of Chinikos of Arash, by Ritva, by Rashi, those 3 paragraphs there. And if you can't find it, always ask me and say it. That's the kasha that they're after. Okay? You got me? That's the kasha. Strong kasha. Yaakov, clear? What do you got to give a different answer like that? Be fancy with the different cases. Pinchas, clear? You got it? Okay. So what's the teretz of that kasha? 2 terutzim. 2 terutzim. Yes, Shimon.
Seven.
Exactly. And Tuna means 1. What is your first name?
Gabi.
Gabi, you got it? It's a great kasha. What do you got to get fancy and say 2 cases? That's what they're all asking here on this case. Okay. So there are 2 terutzim. The first terutz is, and the way the Shita says it, you see, I want to highlight it, Ellie. Read the last Rashi in the Amr Shiva. This is a tricky Rashi. Okay, look at it inside, guys. Amr Shiva. I don't mean it tricky in a negative way. I'm saying tricky if you don't read it carefully, right? Rashi was inside. He's not trying to trick us, right? Amr Shiva. But what I say, you can't skim. I always say that. If you don't know something, ask me. You will get how to read it. You don't skim it and say it's all, you know, done. Okay? You got to know how to get the shot before we get to the lumps. Go ahead. Amr Shiva.
Amr Shiva.
That phrase, ain't attuned to Ka'amar.
Ka'amar of Huna.
Oh, go ahead. We established, go ahead. That what? That it doesn't require Shiva. Mechlau.
The
Ka'amar Rababa.
Rababa.
Exactly. Nerds, it's not rocket science, Rashi says. If Eina Tuna says, if Eina Tuna means you don't require Shiva, then what does the word Tuna mean? That you require what? Shiva. Symmetry. It's got to be talking about the same thing. Can't be talking about 2 different things, pears and oranges. Eina Tuna is Shiva. That means Tuna means Shiva. So says the Shittim Kabetzes, you know what Rashi's saying? Exactly this. Says the Shittim Kabetzes that if Eina Tuna means, it doesn't mean 7, it meant only 1, then you can't turn around and say that what? That Tuna means what? Means 1. You understand what I'm saying? You can't say Eina Tuna means you don't need 7, right? You only need 1. And then what does Tuna mean? Tuna means what? It means there's 2 different things. Eina Tuna meant what? You don't talk like that. Eina Tuna means you don't need 7, but really all you need is 1. And when Tuna meant 1, don't use the same phraseology. You don't use the same phraseology like that. If Eina Tuna meant 7, then the word Tuna means 7. You require 7. You follow me, Pinchas? When you write the word Eina Tuna, if Eina Tuna means 7 Sheva, then the word Tuna means what? Sheva. They require Sheva. Don't tell me that it means, this is what I'm going to say, don't say, Ein Lomar. This is what Rashi's saying in Shittim Kabetzes Masber. Don't tell me Eina Tuna means what? Eina Tuna means Sheva. And what does Tuna mean? 1. That's ridiculous. There's no symmetry. That's asymmetrical. Asymmetry. You follow me? And that's exactly what Rashi's driving at by saying what he's saying. I was bothered by this, Rashi. What's Rashi trying to say to me? He's saying, what he's trying to say is exactly you can't give that answer. What would the answer be? I'm only talking about Alma marrying an Almana. When it said Eina Tuna, it meant what? Eina Tuna meant. Eina Tuna meant Sheva. And what does Tuna mean? Tuna means what? Tuna means Echad. That's ridiculous. But that's, I would be able to keep within the category of almon marrying an almana. That's why you can't give that answer. That's why you have to come on and answer a bachar marrying an almana and an almon marrying an almana. You got it? That's how it answers the kasha. Everyone got that, clear? It's a mahalakim shahir. You dismiss the whole thing if you go through it quick. Ellie, clear?
I don't think I understand.
Okay, let's say it again. In other words, what was the kasha? The kasha, the written in the Shulchan Kabetz, is why is Gemara got to give the answer? Bachar marrying an almana and an almon marrying an almana. Two different tracks, right? That was the Gemara's answer. Just say simple. Keep it within an almon marrying an almana. And when it said enatuna, it meant enatuna shiva, because it's an almon marrying an almana. And when it says tuna, it meant one. The answer is, we don't speak in this asymmetrical ways. That's asymmetrical. That's exactly what Rashi's saying. Whatever I say ain't a tuna is what tuna's got to be. This is what Rashi's saying, ain't lomar, don't say that. Rashi's trying to answer the kasha of the written in the Shittim Kibetzis. That's what the Shittim Kibetzis says, pshat, in Rashi. He's teaching us how to learn up Rashi. Gotta be clear?
Yeah.
That's exactly what the Shittim is saying, pshat, in Rashi is. That's exactly why he says it like this. He says, ain't lomar, don't say it, because that's asymmetrical. Clear, Ellie? Excellent. Okay, good. Yes, Johnny, go ahead.
What's the half being of the question if we said Echos Besula and Echos Almana?
No, but the steer was within Almana, though. You follow me?
Uh-huh.
Almana tuna and Almana ain't a tuna. You're right. By Besula, it said tuna. You're right. No problem.
Oh,
but the steer is within Almana. You follow me? Okay. The steer is within Almana. He did say achas psula, but he said achas almana tuna brach. How do you square that with the next name of Ravuna? Almana doesn't require brach. That's the first answer. Second teretz, guys, let's get it. Second teretz from Ice is the Ritva. The Ritva says like this. Ritva says achas psula, achas almana tuna brach. Maybe Johnny, this is what you're driving at. It's hinted to by the fact you say achas psula, achas almana, that they are symmetrical. That the bracha of an almana will be similar to bracha of a psula. Just like classically a psula gets how much? 7 days? I also have to give you a case an almana has 7 days. What's the only case an almana has 7 days? When what? When who marries her?
Bachar.
Excellent, Pinchas. That's a different teretz. You can't say only almon marrying an almana, because the fact that it's an achas psula v'achas almana is showing that we want it to be symmetrical, that just like a psula gets 7 days, there's an almana that gets 7 days as well. And who's the only one that can give an almana 7 days? A bachur. You couldn't get that if it was just within a almon marrying an almana. So you can't just give me the teretz that it's almon marrying an almana, and ain't a tuna meant what? Seven, and tuna meant one. Because it wouldn't fit the symmetrical message that is Rav Abba's trying to convey to us by saying achas besula, achas almona. You follow me, Shimon? And the fact that it's achas besula, achas almona is trying to convey to us that there is a case of an almona that gets shem brachos 7 days, just like a besula. The only way that could be is with a buffer. And that's why the Gemara's got to come out of that answer. So I want you to get those two terutzim to that kasha. Then why did the Gemara have to stand on its head and give an answer of bachar shenas almana? Just say stick within an almon with an almana. Those are the two terutzim. Everyone got it, Clore? Yes, Elliot, right? The answer is that the fact when we began the Gemara, what was the lashon of the Gemara? Amar Rav Kalbo, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav Abba, Rav Zavda, Amar Rav Achas Psula Achas Almana. There's symmetry between the Psula and the almana. Just like a Psula gets 7 days. And Almana also, there's a scenario gets 7 days. And the only way that Almana could get 7 days is if she marries a Bachar. That's why the Gemara needed to give that teretz. That's the second teretz. Okay? Yes?
You're basically saying that they have to be equal. There has to be a case where they're equal?
Yes, the second teretz is we want symmetry. They got achas v'achas. Correct. Okay. Now, let's get to what? Let's get to the point that we brought up, the kasha, rather, not just the point. The kasha is, that we pose, is are these two terutzim being cholik on one another? Okay? So, Rove of the Rishonim, okay? Let's get it down. Rove of the Rishonim, follow the Rambam. That there is no machlokus in the two terutzim in the Gemara. Okay? Rove of the Rishonim are in agreement with the Rambam. Okay? That's the Pashup Shat, Lamaisa, the Rif, the Rosh, Rashba, the Ritva, they all say like the Rambam, that in fact, Halacha Lamaisa, and the Rambam says this, in Pirik, Yud Halacha Yud Beis, the Rambam paskins, that if you marry an Almana, there's Shloshi Yimei Simcha, whether she marries a Bachar or whether she marries an Almon. Please get it down, okay? According to the Rambam, Pirik Yud Halacha Yud Beis, that a widow that gets married, she has Shloshi Yimei Simcha, whether she gets married to a Bachar or to an Almon. Okay? That's the Gav of the Shloshi Yimei Simcha. That's in Hilchos Ishus. We'll discuss what that means, Shloshi Yimei Simcha, Bezushan. Okay? However, in Hilchos Brachos, in Pirik Beis Halachates, the Rambam says a Bachar that marries an Almana gets 7 days. An Almon that marries an Almana gets 1 day.
It's 1 day of what?
Bracha. 1 day of bracha. So the Rambam says, Beferish, Halacha Lamaisa, the Rambam learns that these two Terutzim are not being cholik on one another. It said, Iboyesema Almon Yomecha Labracha Shloshi L'Simcha, Iboyesema Bracha Sheshiva Labracha L'Shloshi L'Simcha. Put the two together, they're not being cholik. Everyone's an Almon and Shloshi made Simcha. No, it's making who she mirrors. And Almana has 3 days of Simcha. Regarding Bracha, it depends. If it's a Bachar, it's Shiva LeBracha. If it's an Almon, it's one. And the Gemara means to say, Yiboyesema, that we can be Mazba, the price is talking about an Almon, or we can talk about a Bachar. But both Shatim are correct in the price. And that's what Rov Rishonim learned. Okay? So, Nachama, one more time. According to Rambam, Rov Rishonim, what's up, Shat? According to Rambam, Rov Rishonim, what's up, Shat? Is that no matter who he marries, who an Almana marries, she only has Shloshi Yimei Simcha. When it comes to Shabbat Brachas, it depends. If it's a Bachar that the Almana marries, she gets 7 days of Brachas. If it's a Almon that she marries, it's only 1 day of Bracha. But no matter who she marries, Shloshi Yimei Simcha. There's an institution of Shloshi Yimei Simcha, and there's an institution called Yimei Bracha. And that's how the Rambam and the Rov and the Rishonim learned the Pshat, Lamaisa. Okay? We got this? So in the Gemara, they are not arguing at all. They're not arguing at all. Right? That's how you read the Gemara. What did the Gemara say, basically, Eli? What is the Gemara basically saying with these two terutzim? That you could say the brisa that says what? Remember this brisa of Shloshim and Simcha is not a problem. Because you can talk about an Almon that has 1 day of bracha, Shlosh of the Simcha. Or you can talk about a Bachar that has Shiva of bracha, but it's always Shlosh of the Simcha. So the brisa of Shakt is beautiful. 3 days where he can't go to work, and what are the 3 days? What are the 3 days? When it says Shaktucham al Benos Yisrael, which Benos Yisrael is referring to? Who's it referring to in this context? Talking about widows, right? Yeah. Benos Yisrael widows. And what are the 3 days? He marries her on Thursday. Yes? That's what the Mishnah says in Daf Beis Manalf. Absula is Wednesday and Almana Thursday. Why Absula Wednesday? We learn because you can take her to Beis the next day. The Thursday morning Beis means in case she's not Absula. But Yaakov, Thursday what? What's Thursday? Thursday they get married. Friday, Chibas Bia. Friday they stay home, Lamaisa. Because why? He was just with her. It's not comfortable. Chibas Bia means endearment caused by Bia. So he's going to be with her and then walk away, go to work. It's not comfortable. And Shabbos, you can't go to work anyway. So you set up Thursday, Friday, and Shabbos, they're together. They spend time together. But that's Shloshi Yimei Simcha. You marry a Bachar for Sheva Brachas, it's 7 days, and for an Almon, 1 day. That's how the Rambam and Rov Rishonim say. Okay? Fine. That's the Ramban, the Rashi, Ritva, Rav, and Rambam will call Rambam Rov Rishonim. Okay. But, there is a Rashba, and I gave you, the Rashba says not that way. The Rashba says, in the Ran, I'm sorry I didn't give you the Dibra Maskel, it's Beis Amnav, the Dapi Arif, Dibra Maskel, Ari, what was it? Achas. Dibra Maskel, Achas. Bezen Rav Tapia Rif. In the Ran, Dibra Maskel Achas. And the Rashba and the Ran come along and they say no. They come along and say that they are arguing. Okay? The two Terutzim are in fact arguing. And it runs like this. That according to the first Terutz of the Gemara, first Terutz was what? Almon that married Almon. Yes, Eli? What would be according to the first Terutz if it's a Bachar that marries an Almon? Please get it down. What's the din if a Bachar marries an Almana? according to the Rashi and the Ran. The Gemara didn't say. You know why? Because it's different. A bacher that marries an almana has how many days of simcha? 7. That's the first day in the Gemara. The takana of shlosh was only for an almon with an almana. You follow me, Daniel? Whereas the second day in the Gemara says no matter what, a bacher that marries an almana also has only 3 days of simcha. So it's a fundamental machloikis between the 2 days in the Gemara. Okay? Shimon, you got me? It's a machlokish Rishonim. Rama bro Rishonim against the Rashi and the Ran. Are the 2 days in the Gemara arguing? And if they are arguing, what Nikud are they arguing on? They're arguing on the case of a Bacher marrying an Almanah. How many days of Simcha are there? According to the Rashi and the Ran, the first day it says 7. And the second day in the Gemara says only what? 3. The other Rishon, Ram and Rabbi Shurim, saying no, it's always 3. It's never 7. So that's the machlokes. Lefizeh, a bacher that married an almana, what do you say? A bacher that married an almana would not have to get married dafka on Thursday. Because the Brisa was only talking about an almon and almana, right? According to the Rashi and the Ran, you follow what I'm saying? It says, Takanos Benos Yisrael, you get married on Thursday, Friday, and Shabbos. But that's only talking about an Almon and the Mirrors and Almana. Mashmal, Bacher, the Mirrors and Almana, can get married any day of the week. And then the Sam Sofer says, no. Chas V'Shalom, low plug. They made a low plug for all widows, they get married on Thursday. But one could have said that. That's a chak. That's a chak. That's a chiddush. You follow what I'm saying? It makes you weak. Let's go over this whole thing. We got to get it clear. Shimon, you got me? Are the two Terutzim in the Gemara Eli arguing? Yes? That's the question. So the Rambam and Rav Yishmael say they are not arguing. The Rambam says any time an Almana gets married, whether she marries a Bacher or an Alma, 3 days of Simcha. Done. Halacha l'maase, always. Shabbat brachas depends. If it's a Bacher, 7 days of brachas. If it's an Alma, Chorak and Rambam and Rav Yishmael. And both Shitas and both Terutzim are not arguing. Just different shot to me, Maz B'Ligamah. Comes along the Rashi and Ran says, no way. There is a machlokes between the two Terutzim and the Gemara. In which case are they arguing about? Well, what did it say? It said it was talking about an almon that marries a woman. An almon. Didn't it say that? The first Terutz? So, Ali, I ask you, according to the first Terutz, what will be the din if a Bacher marries an almon? How many days of Simcha there will be? Not 3, but 7. According to the Rashi and Ran, it will be 7. According to the second day in the Gemara, how many will it be? 3. We're pointing out, though, that it should follow that a bacher that marries an almana shouldn't have to get married on Thursday. Then the Chassam Sofer says, no, it's a low plug. They made it, all widows that get married should get married on Thursday. You follow me? But one theoretically could say that, because you were saying that if you're saying that the first day in the Gemara is constricting it only to a case of almana marrying almana, that Takanash Kabinos Yisrael is only an almana that marries an almana. Mashra, a bacher that marries an almana could get married any day of the week. Some server still says no. Okay? You got this? That's the machlekes. You got it, clear? What's a kasha? Go ahead.
So they're the Ran and Rashi are getting that they're different from the fact that it's the first case is going down from the almon to almon.
The first teretz says Yibay Sam Almon Shinasa Almon. Correct. And it says what? Yomechel Lebracha Leshlosh
Lesuva. Must be that bracha almon is due.
Exactly. Exactly. Well said, Shim. And therefore it's 7. And what I'm pointing out is that if a bacher marries an almana, you wouldn't be able to get married on Thursday. Then the Chassam Sofer backs out at Sigma Plu. Okay? We got this, Chlor? Yes, Ali, go ahead.
How does the Ran and Rashi explain the days of bracha? They're only saying that it's simcha, you made simcha. Like, where is the made bracha in their teretz? In their explanation of the teretz.
What's wrong? It says, Amon Shinasa what? Almon Shinasa Almon is Yom Echel LeBracha Dishlosh Simcha. That's an Almon with an Almana. But a Bacher with an Almana is completely different. Bacher with an Almana is 7 and 7.
You're saying 7?
Yeah, because the two Tirits are arguing. Yes. A Bacher that marries an Almana will be 7 and 7.
For the second Tirits, they would say Shlosh for both?
Second Tirits would say, yeah. No, second Tirits is Shlosh Simcha all the time. All the time.
Right, and what about the Yom Bracha?
Yom Bracha, they're going to agree. Sheva Bracha. Sheva. Always Sheva. Correct. Machlokes is by Yimei Simcha. Eli, Chlor, you got me? Yeah? Chlorkite? Yes, Daniel, go ahead.
So
So then, according to the Ron and the Rashba, why didn't the Gemara on Daf Hey, when it was bringing the nafkaminas between Shavta and Bracha, use this as a nafkamina? Meaning it should have brought this also as a nafkamina, because if the Amon marries a Bachar, then even though Bracha doesn't
apply... Maybe we'll get to that. We'll see. We'll see if we have time to discuss that today. We'll see. I understand what you're saying. We'll see, though. Okay? I don't know if we have time today, but Lomaisa, we have to develop what this Machlik is all about. Okay? Then maybe we'll be able to see that. Could be dependent on when Shloshim Meisimcha was enacted.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. We got this clear? All right. Now, what I want to get to now is... This now, the way we set it up, can be Masber for us... A machloik is the machaber in the Ramah, in the Shulchan Aruch. Okay? I want you to get this, okay? Because it comes out a beautiful finish we want to suggest. Okay? Comes out very, very, fits very neatly. Okay? It says in the Shulchan Aruch. Please, let's get it. It says in the Shulchan Aruch. In Ibn Ezer Simen Lama Dalet, Sif Aleph. Okay? Hilchos Kedushin. States as follows. Hanose b'sula sarach b'smach ima shiva yamim shalo yasa malachim. If someone marries a b'sula, you have to be happy with her for 7 days and don't go to work. Says the Ramah, chasen asr b'asiyas malachim. The Ramah adds, a chasen is asr b'malachim. What's bothersome with that? Again, what do the Mechaber say? Hanosu b'sula sarach b'smochim ha, shiva yamim, shalo yasa malachim. Didn't the Mechaber say it's asr du malacha? What does the Ramah say? Chasim asr b'asiyas malachim. What's the kasha? What on earth is the Ramah adding to the Mechaber? You know, the Mechaber wrote the Shulchan Aruch, the great tzaddik, in 1550. Shulchan Aruch. The Ramah wrote his own Shulchan Aruch. He's such a tzaddik, he said, the Mechaber wrote it, what do I need mine? He said, forget about it. So he wrote notes on the Mechaber. Hagoyah. But there are additions. What on earth is he adding here? You follow me? Johnny, you got me? The Ramah, what is he adding? Oh, so listen to this. So the Beis Shmuel there on the spot there, in Sifkaten Aleph and Beis, and the Chalkos Mechokek, is in Sifkaten Beis, says like this. Amazing. There's a fundamental machloikis, guys, here, between the Mechaber and the Ramah. What is Yimei Simcha? The Isser Malacha, why is there an Isser Malacha? Why is there an Isser Malacha? So according to the Shulchan Aruch, the Isser Malacha is because of why? What does the Rambam say? I have it right here. Perek Yud Alef Halach Yud Beis. I'm reading the end of the Rambam. Shiyei Sameach Ima B'ula Shloshem Ben Bachar Ben Almona. The whole point of the 3 days of Malacha is that you should spend time with her kala. That you should be Masameach her. That is the point of the Isser Simcha. The Isser of, not the Isser Simcha, the Isser Malacha. That the Yimei Simcha is Latova Sa'isha. To be Sameach the wife. What will be the halacha is if she says, you know what, my beloved husband, you can go to work. Mm-hmm. Let's say she's mochel. What's the din? She'd go right to work, according to the Mechaber. He can go right to work. But according to the Ramah, he says, besides for the fact that it's Yimei Simcha, there's a new din called Chasen Doim Lamelech from the Pirkei Rav Elazar in Pirkei Tet Zayin. A melech never goes out in the shuk levado. So to a chassan. The melech, the simcha mishnah form, so to the chassan. And there's a pasuk in Yoel, yatzah chassan mechedro. Chassan doesn't go out to work. So there's a new din according to the Ramah. So according to the Ramah, even if she's mochel and she says, you might be loved husband, you can go to work. Sorry, you can't go to work. Because there's a din of chassan doim lemelech. That's what the Ramah is adding on. You follow me? That's what the Ramah is adding on. It's Geshmak. And says Rav Shmuel Rozovsky, he says another nafkamina would be, could he do something in the house to misameach his wife? I don't know, let's say, I don't know, clean up the house or something, you know, she wants it to be neat, and she can't move the furniture, but he can, he's a strong man, so he wants to show off his strength to his new wife. So he says, is that allowable? If you hold like the Rambam, that's the whole point is to what misameach her, then why not? But if y'all like Ramah, oh, you think a Melech ever moves the furniture? Come on. No way. According to Ramah, he wouldn't be able to move the furniture. So it comes out that there's a fundamental machlokes here. What is the Isser Melacha based on? Is it should be that she panui the Mesamech's wife? The Mechaber holds like the Rambam. And the Ramah holds like who? The Ramah holds like who? Who does the Ramah hold like? I want you guys to get this. The Ramah holds like that Rashba and the Ran. The Ramah holds like that Rashba and the Ran. Because according to the Rashba and the Ran, do you know why there was a Bachar marrying an Almana has 7 days of Simcha? Why does a Bachar marrying an Almana have 7 days of Simcha? Remember we said according to the Rashba and the Ran? What is your first name?
Daniel.
According to the Rashba and the Ran, why did we say a Bachar that marries an Almana has 7 days of Simcha? We didn't say why. You know why, Johnny? Because Chasen Dovel Amalek. There's a new thing. Chasen Dovel Amalek. The man of Bachar that marries an Almana has to have 7 days of Simcha because she can't go to work. Not outs her. You know, outs is in Yiddish English means not because of her, but because of Chasen Dovel Amalek. The Rambam doesn't work with Chasen Dovel Amalek. The Rambam only has Sosim Simchi. It's Meiridik. It comes out beautiful. El, you follow this?
Yes. What's the Lashon
Ramah here? The Lashon Ramah is Chasim Asr Mesis Malacha. The Mechaber said that already. He's trying to stress to you it's because of Chasim Domel Lamel. And I jumped out of my seat when I saw this. Do you know what the Bir HaGrah says in the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch? Do you know what he says? He quotes for that Ramah the Pirkei Rabbi Elazar. In one line, the Gaon can give you a whole Shtigl Torah. The reason why the Ramah says there's an Isser Melacha is because of Chasen Dovel Amalek. Not like the Rambam and the Mechaber that says that he should be panui, free to misameach her. And if she says, go to work, go to work. No! It's because of Chasen Dovel Amalek. And therefore, a Bachar that marries an Almana must have 7 days as well. Because he's a Chasen Dovel Amalek. And that's what comes out beautiful. Pshat, the Vilna Gaon Mamish says it. He quotes the Rambam. He says the Rambam is based on Panui. Then he quotes the Pirkei Rabbi Elazar. He says that's the Makar of the Ramah. And I don't know, guys. I don't know why. But if you look at the Makar Mishnah on the Rambam, he quotes the Pirkei Rabbi Elazar. I don't know why. Because the Rambam does not working with the Pirkei Rabbi Elazar. If you look at the Makar Mishnah on that Rambam, I gave you the Magen Mishnah on that Rambam.
He points out the Pirkei Rabbi Elazar.
The Gaon.
Yeah, I know, the Magen Mishnah.
Yeah, the Magen Mishnah points out, but the Rambam doesn't work with it. That's what I'm saying, it's difficult.
Yeah.
Quotes out this Pirkei Rabbi Elazar. Why are you quoting the Pirkei Rabbi Elazar? Okay. He quotes it right here, on Halacha Yud Beis. Okay. Maybe he doesn't mean it as a Makar of the Rambam. So that comes out, Lamaisa, from fundamental Chiddush. So it comes out that this is the machloikis, the Mechaber Ramah is the machloikis between the Rambam. You guys follow this? It's beautiful. And it all stems from how to read the Gemara, Ellie. Do you read the Gemara by saying that they're not arguing like Rambam over Shona, or do you view it as that they are arguing? And then you can open a window that a book of the Miris and Amana has 7 days of Simcha. Gabi, you got me? Pinchas clear? It depends on how you read the Gemara. Then you have to come up with a Machloikis Shona, and then you got to say, what's the Lam this in? And that's the Machloikis, the Mechaber Ramah, Mamish. And the Gaon is saying this all one shtickle tire by saying that one word. He's saying it on the Ramah. The Ram is saying that when it's Panui. That's the Chiddush. The Rambam says, if you think about it, before it makes sense, the Ram says that it's got to be Panui, Panui, Panui. So if it's Panui, Panui, according to the Ram, who cares, Lamaisa? According to the Ram, who cares, Lamaisa, who she's marrying? It could be a Bachar and Alma. 3 days is enough, right? He's marrying an Almana. Takanas Pnos Yisrael. After 3 days, he can go to work. After 3 days, he can go to work. Okay? That's the Rambam Svara Lamaisa. Whereas according to the Rashba and the Ran, it's the Domin Lamelech, then a Bachar that marries a what? An Almana. It's got to have 7 days of Sukkah. He's Domin Lamelech. It's his first marriage. Yes, I'm sorry, Ezra. Go ahead.
I'm not understanding why the Ramah is like the Rashba and the Ran. Why does the fact that 7 days automatically make it a Melech? He can be a Melech for 3 days.
No, the Pirkei Rabbi Elazar says, Chasen Domel Lamelech for 7 days. Chasim Asim Asiyas Malacha 7 days. That's the din.
Why is that? Why is 7 days specific?
That's the longest of the. That's the din. We say that 7 days is the yomtiv of a chasim. So that's why it's chasim doim l'mara for those 7 days.
So
that's kufa dechidush.
Seven days represents.
That's how it manifests itself as a melech, right? Why do we stand up for a chasim when he walks down? So many poskim say because chasim doim l'mara, you stand up. Others say anyone who's going to do a mitzvah is supposed to stand up for. Rav Shechter Shlita always told us the Gavite Stalker that comes around for shul, the Pesachei Tshuva says, you should stand up when he collects the stalker. He's going to do a mitzvah. So there's two reasons why you have to stand up for the chasim. Okay, but that's one of them for those 7 days. Okay, let's now, so Lamaisa, I want to get, Tuesday's the end of Shir, we always do something in Halachim. So I want to do something, we'll pick it up from here tomorrow, go over everything good, I'm going to give a Vaitre Mar Makomos, because we didn't get to finish. I'll give you a Vaitre Mar Makomos, you chazer over, okay? Every day, chazer over. If you can't do it at night, you're doing something else at night, do it in the beginning. You ask me questions. Lean that out, try to be there early. And you'll ask me kashas. Okay, I want to do the topic now, at least start the topic of, and on Sundays we have Shir 11:30. I want to start the topic of Shnai Mikra Vechetarvim, okay? Now, it is, not so well known, but it's unfortunate that people make a joke. What simin is Shnai Mikra Vechetarvim in? Shulchan Aruch, simin Resh Pei Hei. Resh Pei Hei means weak. Unfortunately, people don't do it. But we shouldn't be like that. You know, it's Rafa. It's a joke. People have to do it. No matter if you're the Gadol HaDor, it's a chiyuv to do Shnai Mikra Vechetarvim. It's a chiyuv. And you should try to put it in your schedule. It's not easy. There is a Ravan that Rav Lichtenstein Shlita once quoted. We don't paskin like the base. He also quotes a Ravan that says, if you're here laning on Shabbos, you don't need to do Shnai Mikra. But we don't hold like that. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't quote the Ravan. You know, the Beis Yosef was the parish in the tour. Beis Yosef quotes a Ravan, but in the Shulchan Aruch himself, he doesn't quote that sheet. Because he didn't hold it. Everyone could say, oh, I heard the laning, so I don't have to do Shnai Mikra. We don't hold like that. No one should say that. Okay? So no matter how big of a Talmud Chacham are, you got to do Shnai Mikra Vechetarvim. In fact, it's part of Sidra de Yuma. There's a whole discussion in the postman during Shiva. You know, a guy who's an oval can't learn regular Torah. Can you do Shnai Mikra? Some postmen say it's okay because it's part of the Seder of the day. You see, to that degree, it's importance.
How do we pass him?
That's a question, Lamais. Usually we don't assume that you do it. Mm-hmm. Usually we don't. But I'm saying some postmen allow
it. Supposed to make it up?
To that degree.
Shabbos,
Lamais, also, you push up shot, you shouldn't do it.
Are you supposed to make it up?
Yeah, you got to make it up. No doubt you got to make it up.
But there's no veils for Shabbos.
There's a veil for Bitsina. Some say Talmud Torah is considered to be Bitsina.
Yeah.
He says in Simon Tov in Shulchan Aruch. Okay, so let's start regarding this din. Okay? Where is the Makor? The Makor and Shas of Shnai Mikra Vechetarvim is in Brachas. On Daf Chesem Amud Aleph, running on Talmud Beis. Amar Rav Yudah Amar Rav Ami, Li'olam Yashlim Adam Parshiyosav Imetzibor Shnai Mikra Vechetarvim, Vafilu Ateres V'divon. I think Atarot, Afilu Atarot V'divon. We'll get back to that if we have time today. But the Gemara says, Kolam Ashlim Parshiyosav Imetzibor Marichim Lo Yomam Shnosav. That's a great bonus. Anyone who knows Shnai Mikra will live a long life. Bezushim. Okay? From Mashlim with the Tzibor. Now, the Lavush, who was an early Achron, has a remiss to this. What is the first Pasuk in Shmos? Ve'en l'shmos b'nei Yisrael. What are the Rosh Yetevis? Vav stands for V'chayiv. Aleph stands for Adam. Lamed stands for Likros. He stands for Aparsha. Shin is Shnayim. Mem is Mikra. Vav is Ve'echad. Tuf is Targum. And it says B'nai Yisrael. All of Kla Yisrael is B'chuy Yishtai Mikveh Targum. Okay? It's a remnant. So it's a chiv. When is D'Raisa the Rabbanon? Not clear. Okay? Not clear. Maybe it's the Rabbanon, but he has a chiv. And the reason why we do it the Levush is to be a Baki B'tayr. You want to become a Baki B'tayr. Shas and Poskim and Tanakh. The Aruch HaShulchan has a little bit of a different beer. He says the Chiv and Torah Shmiya, and the Limud is the Shmoa of the Limbo. So the Shmiya is hearing the Sefer Torah, Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos, And then the Lamaisa, you'll know Kodim, the Chumash. You learn it first, Yahweh, the Kodesh, Lishma, Mesifatur. So there's a din of Lishma of a Lilmo. So you want to learn it first through Shnei Mikra to be ready for what? Ready for on Shabbos to hear the Kriya Sefer. And that's really what the most unique thing. I can't tell you that if you've chazered over done Shnei Mikra, when you get to the Shabbos, it's a machayim. Because you know what's going on better. But if you're behind, it's a little bit harder. Okay? So how do we do this? Okay? So how do we do this? If we, I don't know if we'll have time to get the Teres Adima, we'll do it another time, but I want to say, how do we do it? So there basically are three different ways in way you could do Shnai Mikveh and Chatar. Okay? What are the three different ways? The Chofetz Chaim's minig was to do the following. Okay? Chofetz Chaim minig was, and this is what I do, the Shevet Alevi reports the minig of the Chofetz Chaim is to go pasuk by pasuk, and then the target. Means you say every pasuk, repeat the pasuk, and then target. Pasuk, repeat the pasuk, and then target, and so on. That's the Chofetz Chaim's quarter, that was his minig. The minig of the Gaon was not that way. The minig of the Gaon was to do each parsha. You know what I mean by parsha? The parsha stuma and chesuma. You know, there's a pay backwards in the samach. You go parsha by parsha. Every day, you could do an aliyah, like the first way, or every day you could do a portion of Parshas Tumah. You read the whole Parsha. I don't mean a Parsha like Bo this week. You know, Parshas Tumah Chesuma, then you repeat that Parsha, and then you do a Pasuk. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky Tzatzal had a Pshara. He said the first time, Lamaisa, you should read every Parsha, like the Gaon, and then the second time, you do Pasuk by Pasuk. Okay, interesting. You don't have to do that, but I want you, those are the, and then there's a, actually, a fourth way that the Rosh Hashulchan quotes, interesting, minig shlishi, is you read the whole parsha, meaning all of Bo, once, then read it again, and then do targum. But as I said, what'd you say? Rosh Hashulchan. Each way is legitimate, and you could switch from week to week. You don't have to, like, matter neder. Okay? So basically, our four different ways we're presenting how to do Shnai Mikra Vechatar. Now, what I want to point out is that it's interesting, halacha lemaisa, is what happens, and this is what's interesting with Rashi. How do we view Perish Rashi? So the Shulchan Aruch says, no problem. Let's say you want to do Rashi instead of Targum Unklus. You can. Problem is, if you have a pasuk where there's no Rashi, what does the Mechaber say? You read it three times. That's on the Mishnah Berurah's Masber. See, Targum has a bonus, comes from Sinai. Rashi has a bonus because he quotes all the Midrashim and he's a Perish. But nonetheless, the Mechaber writes, Beferish, that reading Rashi is as good as the Targum. But I just want you to note, to be careful, that where there is no Rashi, you got to read the Pasuk three times. The Ramah says, Yarashamayim, if you can, to do both. Is to do Rashi, and do the Psukim, you know, with the Targum, and Rashi. So then you always are okay. Even if there's no Rashi, I've done the Targum. You follow me? Okay. Now, it's interesting that the Mishnah Berurah says that someone who only has a Chumash should read the Chumash twice, and then when he gets Targum to say it. And you shouldn't do it out of order. You should always do the Psukim first, and then do Targum after. Shnai Mikra, the Echad Targum. That's the way it should be done. And it's the Mishnah Berurah's Masber, you really shouldn't talk in the middle. Okay? You really shouldn't talk in the middle. He says, in Efshir lo shal yafsi b'shon shnai mikra v'chatar v'ashum davar hu tov v'yafim od v'chen ra'isi b'hamadaktikim osum keim v'chen ra'ui l'ba'am nefesh lasas. You really shouldn't try to be mafsik in the middle of shnai mikra. It's also good for focus. It's better not to be that too. Now, what about for truck? And so I always try to do it with the truck, the psukim. Is that ma'akev? No. The Prima Gaudim says it's not ma'akev. You don't have to do it with truck. But it's l'chachil. What about on yontif? Do you have to do Shnai Mikra for yontif? No, because you're covering it through the Shavuos of the year. Okay. I'll tell you a shaila. I'll be all honest with you. Eschatoy ani masker. Even though I caught up over intercession, sometimes I do lag back. You know, the you know, you have to, you can make it up, you have to tell Simchus Torah. So I was a few parts, but I made it up during intercession. So now I'm old, but I really should do Ali. You don't have to do Ali every day. There are different ideal times we'll get to. But Lamaisa, and that, this I have a shiloh, a lot of times if I'm falling behind, what do you do? Do you do the parts of that week or the ones that you're behind with? Chuvas Marshtam. The Marshtam has a tshuva, and he says you should do the parsha of the week. Because the Chovas Sayom comes first. That's what he says. Now you got to make sure you make up the other ones. You got to make sure you do it. I happen to not do that. I probably am wrong, but I'm afraid I'm going to forget. Therefore, I always try to like to do it in order. But the Marshtam has a tshuva in Orachaim Simon Reish Yud Gimel that he says you should, if you fall behind, you should do the one of the week first and then make up the other ones. But you have it till Sukkot start. Okay? Now, when it comes to women, women are potter from Talmud Torah, so they don't have to do Shnayim Mikvah Torah. But a boy, you should be, we should mechanic our kids to observe the din of Shnayim Mikvah Torah. Now, what's the most proper time to do it? The Shnayim Mikvah Torah. Okay? So one minig is, the Shabura quotes, is to do everything on Erev Shabbos. That's hard. Okay? Or finish them on Erev Shabbos, that's a little bit easier. That minig is just as good. They're both considered mitzvah min ha-mufkar. Okay? Now when can you begin it? Immediately, l'maisa, after mincha, the previous Shabbos. You can do it immediately. You can even do it on Shabbos. You can start immediately, even on Shabbos. Allah l'maisa. It's very interesting. Okay? Now, that's the ideal. Okay, we got it? Either doing it all on Friday or finishing by Friday. That's the ideal. What's the second ideal? Completing everything by Shabbos morning, before the Kriyas HaTorah. You didn't finish it by the Friday night meal? Okay. Second best is you finish it by Shabbos morning. What's the third best? Finishing it before lunch. And what's the fourth best? Finishing everything before what? Shabbos Mincha. Now what does that mean before Shabbos Mincha? Does it mean Jacob Mincha Gedolah? Right? Because really you could do Mincha at that time. Or does it mean actually Mincha? I think people are mekel for the actual mincha. But at the same vein, you can't start until after the Kriyas HaTorah has actually been read. No one will allow you to start the next parsha if Kriyas HaTorah, it's mincha already, but you didn't daven it yet, you follow me? You didn't hear the Kriyas HaTorah. Okay, so that's an interesting topic. But I'll tell you, till I was preparing this mahalach, I never knew this. Magen Avraham, I don't know a lot of things, but I never knew this. I thought I knew all the Dinam HaShemik, I didn't know all the... You know, the Magen Avraham writes, Befeirush, in Sidur Reish Beis, that the last pasuk in every parsha, the last thing you should do is repeat a pasuk. Isn't that amazing? I never knew that. Shnai Mikavecha Targum, but it's not right that the last thing you say is the Targum. You should repeat the pasuk. Isn't that amazing? Befeirush Magen Avraham. The Kitzu Shulchan Aruch quotes it. The Mishnah Berurah doesn't quote this. That's why people I don't think know it. The Mishnah Magen Avraham, the Kitzu Shulchan Aruch, Aruch HaShulchan quotes it here in Osvav. Quotes it the Pharisees, Reish Bei Osvav, that the last pasuk you should do, Shnayim Mikvah Chatarim, and then do another pasuk. It's like Shnayim Mikvah Chatarim, Vechad pasuk. Actually, we should say Shnayim Mikvah Chatarim, Echad Mikra. Not Echad pasuk, Echad Mikra.
That's for each pasuk?
No, just the last pasuk Eliot of the Parsha. Interesting, I never knew this. Because you said you should end it with what? A pasuk in Chumash.
In the Parsha Shavuot?
In the Parsha of the Shavuot. Like the last pasuk in Bo, you should do the pasuk, he says. Interesting Chumash. Okay, interesting Chumash. Now, what I want to close with, and continue, when we continue this topic, just as, let's close with this. Can you count one of the Shnayim Mikras by listening to the Kriyas HaTorah? So the truth is, the Radbaz writes through Shmia, you should not, you have to actually articulate it. So through Shmia, if you know how to read it, you're not Yotze. But, can you read along with the Baal Kor? You know how some guys in Shul do that? Can that count as one time? Yes, says the Mishnah Berurah. But I want to stress what the Mishnah Berurah says. And this is, you have to make sure you do this as a mensch, that you don't disturb other guys. You know, there are some guys that say it so loud, you can't even hear the Baal Korah. If you want to do it, it's fine. I don't advise it. I never do it. I do it, you know, you do Shemek regularly. But if you need to do it, if you're going to do it, don't be so loud that you annoy the other guys. They have to hear it from the chazan. And b'dievet, you could be yotzei another one through listening. But the Rabbah says it's not right. The Rabbah says you're not yotzei. The Jewish Marsham says to be yotzei through Shmiya b'dievet is a very big cool. B'dievet, Lamaisa, you could be yotzei through Shmiya. But we should really be articulate. So what we have to continue with next time is, why did the Gemara pick on Atarot the Divon? Could have said Reuven Shimon, right? Those were destinations. Back to the Gemara and Brachas on Chesemez, it's a good Olam, Chaim, Mikra, and Chatargum, Vafil, Atar, Vidivon, which are places in Matos. Why did it focus on those? That's what I have to pick up with. Okay, everyone have a wonderful day. Chaz are over, and it's too early for Mishnah, so.